Okay? So the next question is, what can the Attorney General do to help in neighborhood revitalization in the state of Maryland? And the order will be Mr. Frosch, Mr. Pritzker, and Mr. Cardin.
Well, I was the author of the Maryland Brownfields Act, and this is the law that has led to the cleanup of thousands of acres around our state of contaminated industrial sites. Baltimore City has probably benefited more than any other area, and it is a classic example of how you can mesh good environmental policy and good business policy, because every time one of these sites has been cleaned up, you create jobs. Under Armour is a perfect example in Baltimore City. All of Tide Point was a brownfields area. So guiding the state and the applicants to that program through the process is something that is part of the job of the Attorney General. The Attorney General can help businesses in subtle but very important ways. One of the biggest complaints that I hear about the process in Maryland of doing redevelopment or getting business licenses and doing business in Maryland is they can't get answers. That the Attorney General's office comes back and says, wait. Now, I represent businesses all the time. I do business litigation. And I know that my clients, when they want an answer, what they want is a yes. But if they're not going to get a yes, they'll take a no. And they would also like a no, but here's how you can do it. And when I'm Attorney General, the Attorney General's office will be responsive, it will be quick, it will be right, it will be good for business. Thank you.
Next is Mr. Pritzker.
The best way to improve our neighborhoods and to make the city of Baltimore better and the state better is to help create jobs, particularly in the inner city. And as Mr. Frosch stated, there's a terrible situation now with business regulations, requirements, licensing, licensure. I hear it several times a month from my clients. As Attorney General, I will appoint a task force to meet with business leaders and to begin to review some of these rules and regulations and requirements which are driving business away. Business does not want to locate in Maryland. Maryland is at the bottom of the list to attract new business. So I will appoint a task force of which I'll be part to meet with business leaders. Bureaucracies and regulations, they grow like a big old tree, and it has to be pruned. If it's not pruned, all these branches come out, and it's a big mess. And that's what we face in Maryland right now. People can't get things done. I have a client who has a building in Rockville. For a year and a half, he's been trying to get something done so he can finish it, and he's going to put a wonderful business there and create probably 50 or 100 jobs. You can't get anything done. The best way to improve the neighborhoods is to give people jobs, and the best way to get jobs for people is to help business and make Maryland a business-friendly state once again.
Mr. Cardin.
Thank you. I'm going to try and do this as quickly as I can because there's so much to talk about. First of all, you need to create safe streets, and you need to create education opportunities. We've already spoken about those, both those, so I won't go into those in detail anymore. We also need to create a small business task force to study the regulatory environment. We need to do that by bringing together environmentalists, business owners, lawyers, bureaucrats, to sit down and really have a gloves-off discussion about how to create an environment that is friendly to the environment, but also able to give businesses predictability and stability in what they're doing. But let's go back a little bit and talk about the environment. Number one, we have an environmental crimes unit that has gone from, because of budget cuts, gone from 12 people down to 5, 3 lawyers and 2 investigators. We need to bring that back up to 12 because we need to make sure that everybody, every single Marylander is drinking clean water and breathing clean air. It's got to happen. We got to make sure that happens. And that's safety and protection for every single community. But we also have to make sure that we are getting the permitting process for different programs and projects expedited. I'll give you an example. The Cardin School, which no longer exists, had a problem with getting a permit to turn an impervious parking lot into a ball field, a pervious ball field with trees and open space. And they couldn't get it done. It was a state regulation that was being dealt with by the county, and the Attorney General's office should have directed them to work that out so that they could have had that ball field up and running. And finally, Rosewood. We all know Rosewood, but we need to make sure that we are moving that, which could be our central park of the entire Baltimore region, with with very expensive property all around it. We have to get that actually working, get Stevenson University and whatever other entities want to be part of it working to actually make that into a realistic open space and park. Those are the kinds of things that the Attorney General can do to bring our communities around. Thank you.
Okay. The next question is, the current Attorney General has called for the abolition of the state prosecutor position, which investigates public corruption. What is your view? The order will be Mr. Pritzker, Mr. Cardin, and Mr. Frosch.
Boy, is that a question that's made for me. What does that tell you? We want to do away with the state prosecutor. The state prosecutor's job is to investigate criminal activity of a white-collar nature or things that could happen with our legislators or with people in government. They don't have much to do anymore. And why don't they? Because everybody in the Democratic Party is looking out for the Democratic Party. There's no independence. There's nobody investigating anything. Of course he's got nothing to do. When you elect me Attorney General, he'll be busy. Because there's so many things that are happening in this state, we don't even know about it. We just don't know. There's no transparency. As Attorney General, I would make sure the transparency, whatever's out there, it belongs to you. This state belongs to you. This government belongs to you. And when things go wrong, somebody has to look into it, and that's the job of the state prosecutor to investigate white-collar crimes. I've been involved with clients who have been involved with the state prosecutor. They do an excellent job. They're wonderful people. They're hardworking people, and they're fair people. But they haven't been used. And one of the things the Attorney General can do, he has the power to say, special prosecutor, check this out. Check out what happened with this health care rollout. Check it out. Right now, he's got nothing to do. When I'm Attorney General, he'll be quite busy.
Mr. Cardin.
Thank you. I think it's a bad idea to close down the state prosecutor's office. I'll give you one example, and that is election law. We need to make sure we have a special prosecutor out there to investigate and deal with any kinds of fraud or any kinds of malfeasance in election law. It was already discussed about having a CLE every 90 days in what you do. I go every year to NCSL and teach a CLE course, literally teach a CLE course on civil rights in election law and making sure that every person has a right to be able to vote in fair and free elections. We need to protect that. We need to make sure that is there for every single citizen in the state of Maryland. I have been fortunate enough to be the chairman of the election law subcommittee for the last 8 years. And we have worked very hard both on the campaign finance side to make sure people's voices are heard and on fair and free elections to make sure people are actually getting a chance to vote without any fear or any questions of confidence in our systems. And if there is, if there is any questions about that confidence, we need a special prosecutor out there, disinterested prosecutor, who doesn't have any political agendas to make sure that every single Marylander has a right to have their voice be heard.
Mr. Frosch.
Thank you. Well, I find myself in vigorous agreement with my opponents. I don't think that the Office of Special Prosecutor should be abolished. Now, the Attorney General, the Special Prosecutor, and state's attorneys have concurrent jurisdiction over political corruption. Any one of the three can prosecute. And I suppose that General Gansler's theory was you don't need three. But the fact is, in every case of political corruption that has been brought that's been of any significance in recent memory, they've all been brought by the special prosecutor. The attorney general is political. The state's attorneys are political. And whether they could have or should have or should not have brought those cases, they were all brought by the special prosecutor. I think we lose something very significant if we abolish that office. And so I'm vehemently opposed to it.
Okay. The next question is, what can the Attorney General's office do to enforce laws against illegal hacking? And the order for this would be Mr. Cardin, Mr. Frosch, and Mr. Pritzker.
Okay. Illegal hacking. I think that hacking by definition, well, maybe it's not by definition illegal, but you've got to, we live in a world where the issues that, and I'm gonna identify a certain group, our young people are facing challenges and pressures and issues that they are dealing with that we never dreamed of 30 years ago. We never dreamed of hacking as a major issue that the Attorney General's office has to deal with. Cybercrime has got to be a top priority. It is already something that the Attorney General's office is spending a tremendous amount of time and energy on. First thing we can do is set up a task force on cybersecurity. I would do that by bringing in and incorporating people who are national, international experts on cybercrime. We already had it today. We had the governor and Senator Mikulski convene a task force dealing with cybercrimes right here with experts from across the world, mostly from Fort Meade and the experts that are here local. But the fact is that the Attorney General's office is the right place to convene this for the citizens of the state of Maryland. I led the fight on reducing cybercrime and online hacking and bullying against teenagers, making Maryland the safest place for a teenager to roam the internet, to surf the internet. And I will continue to do that with using our expertise in figuring out how to go after hackers and other online perpetrators.
Mr. Frosch.
Thank you. The Attorney General's office does have jurisdiction over hacking in almost every instance because the Attorney General has jurisdiction over all interjurisdictional cases. That is, if it occurs in 2 counties or 10 counties. And most hacking, when it's criminal, does involve, implicate people in a number of different jurisdictions. So having a cyber crimes unit that is active, that is up to date, that is well informed, and that is aggressive is extremely important to a functioning Attorney General's office. I would make sure that that continues to be the case. Let me say, I was fighting for privacy when fighting for privacy wasn't cool. The Maryland Motor Vehicle Administration used to sell your private information, your name, address, age, type of car you drive, where you live, what your phone number is. And I introduced and got passed legislation and they used to sell it to commercial entities. I introduced and got passed legislation that put them out of business. I can tell you that as Attorney General, I will fight for your privacy. I will fight against cyber crimes. I will fight against identity theft, and I will be tough on those folks who are trying to get an advantage over our vulnerable citizens and our consumers in the state of Maryland.
Mr. Pritzker.
I must adopt Mr. Frosch's remarks. I think they were fabulous, and I'm not going to waste your time saying the same thing over again. So thank you.
Okay. So we will now go to the next question, which is, many feel that Maryland is not business hospitable. What can the Attorney General do to balance business regulation with business development? And the order will be Mr. Frosch, Mr. Pritzker, and Mr. Cardin.
Well, I've given the answer to that in part to a previous question, and the answer is the Attorney General's office needs to be nimble, it needs to be responsive, and those are the main criteria for business. We obviously have to have an infrastructure that's hospitable, but what the Attorney General in particular can do is to answer questions and answer them right. I've heard, and it comes from many, many lawyers across the state, that when their clients are applying for licenses, applying for permits, et cetera, they just can't get an answer. When I'm Attorney General, they'll get an answer, they'll get the right answer, and they'll get it promptly.
Mr. Pritzker.
Maryland is not a business hospitable state. It's not business friendly. It hasn't been business friendly for at least the past 8 years. It's getting worse, not better. Businesses are not coming here. We have the worst reputation, probably with the exception of New York and perhaps one other state. There is a way to stop it, and what my platform calls for is for me to meet with business people in this state, good business people, not people who are out to cheat the public or do the wrong thing, but to meet and determine what regulations still make sense and what regulations don't. The average business person today has so many regulations to deal with on the federal side, the state side, the local side, he doesn't know which way to turn. You can send out a letter that seems fine because of state regulations, and there might be a federal regulation that says it's no good. I have I had a client who owned a little cleaning place in Annapolis. He had a spill. He had a bucket, and a couple drops of some harmful fluid did fall into a parking lot. So they shut the whole parking lot down. The Environmental Crimes Unit went against him, wanted to put him in jail. This guy had been here for 20 years. He sold his business, and he now lives in Virginia. All you have to do is cross the Virginia border, and you see all this new business happening. It's not happening here. As Attorney General, I will have a task force to start going through COMAR, licensure requirements, rules, regulations, and chop through some of them that don't make any sense so that business wants to come here and so that business can operate here profitably instead of spending more money with compliance than they do in actually producing the product.
Mr. Cardin.
Thank you. Let me try and give you one example of what I've already done, one example of what I've learned and what I will do. First of all, when I started going around the state and talking to different people and asking about this exact question, I was invited to come to the MSBA, the Maryland State Bar Association's business section, franchise law section, for a meeting. It was about 50 lawyers, 25 franchisee lawyers on one side, 25 franchisor lawyers on the other side, and two assistant attorney generals at the end of the table. And they were talking about, you know, franchisee lawyers, talking about what the franchisor lawyers can do, blah, 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 back and forth. And I said, well, is there anything that you guys can agree on? And all of a sudden, they started talking about all these different things they can agree on, and they all pointed at the assistant AGs and said, but these guys are standing in our way, even though our clients on both sides are happy with what we want to get done, but these guys are slowing us down because of bureaucratic red tape. So the answer that I said to them is, if I should be so fortunate enough as to be your boss in a few months, there's going to be a change to this. And lo and behold, I get a call from one of my friends from the section who said, it was amazing. After that meeting, all of a sudden, these kinds of red line rules that we were dealing with all sort of started to change, and things are happening much faster. That's the kind of person you want in the AG's office, actually streamlining unnecessary types of rules. Number two, how am I doing on time? Number two, the AG has got to deal with what I have learned is an issue of identity theft, which has already been discussed, but with businesses. Businesses are terrified of using their technology because their consumers and the people that are using their products are terrified of doing anything with technology. In fact, the Bureau of Justice Statistics reported just in 2012, about a year and a half ago, 16.6 million individuals and businesses experienced some sort of identity theft. We've got to go after that because it's costing us, and this is from the Bureau of Statistics, not from me, nearly $25 billion in lost business. We've got to stop that.
Okay. The next question will be, can the Attorney General do anything about the public school problem? And the order will be Mr. Pritzker, Mr. Cardin, and Mr. Frosch.
That's a very good question. I frankly am at a loss to tell you what the Attorney General could do about the school problem. It's such a serious problem that it's going to require a whole lot more than the Attorney General to become involved. The Attorney General does have some jurisdiction over juvenile matters, so to that extent, I imagine it could help. But when you say the school problem or the public school problem, it's such a vague question that I don't really know how I can answer it, and I don't know that that's something that the Attorney General, I'm sure my colleagues up here will have a better answer than I do. I certainly wish something could be done. Without studying it, I don't know exactly what the Attorney General could do about the public school problem.
Mr. Cardin.
Thank you. Let me try and define what I think is the problem that we're talking about. First of all, Maryland has been ranked for a number of years as having the top public education in the country by Education Today. The problem is that we have an achievement gap that keeps seeming to grow, and we have certain jurisdictions that have a problem with providing adequate education. So we need to keep doing what we're doing right, and making sure that those that we can work with the Department of Education, because we do have assistant AGs there, helping facilitate in whatever way you can on the right things. But when it comes to overseeing the Baltimore City school system or other school systems, there is no reason why an attorney general, an assistant attorney general, can't be directed by the AG to investigate how we can better spend money. And I would suggest that there was a suggestion earlier by one of my opponents that we do not have enough money to fully fund education. And I think that that is not true. I think that Maryland has adequately funded education after Thornton with the additional $1.3 billion for the last number of years, since I've been in office. So for the last 12 years, we have fully funded education, and I think everybody would agree that there may be some small areas or not that certainly need changes in the education funding formula, but not that we haven't fully funded education. So I would just simply say that I would direct my AGs to investigate how the money is being spent, and if there are certain changes or initiatives that need to be suggested, let's convene through the Attorney General's office a commission to study and to make recommendations to the administration and to the Maryland State Board of Education.
Mr. Frosch.
Thank you. I think the reason that my opponents are struggling with the answer to this question is it's a bit of a bank shot. The Attorney General does not have a direct role in public education. The local jurisdictions run the public schools. The state provides money. It establishes criteria that the local jurisdictions have to meet. Where the Attorney General does have a direct role is as counsel to the State Department of Education. And the State Department of Education is the entity that enforces the state law as it relates to the local public schools. And the Attorney General does play an important role in that respect. But its impact on public education has to go two different directions before it makes a direct impact. Having said that, let me just say, I don't believe that our public education system in this state is fully funded. Otherwise, we wouldn't have kids going to schools where you have the ceiling falling down, where you have bathrooms that don't work and fountains from which you can't drink the water. You wouldn't have kids who are failing and not achieving what they have the potential to achieve. And many schools in many areas don't have the rich curriculum that exists in other jurisdictions. So I think there's room for improvement in our public education system, and it includes some room for additional funding.